On this weekend's Motherlode Views, we are talking about Resiliency Village. We're getting an update from the executive director, Mark Dykin, who is getting us up to speed on the project. Mark, next thing I want to ask you about is you talked a little bit about misconceptions earlier on. Is there any other misconceptions or questions that you commonly get asked about Resiliency Village?
Well, lately there's been a flood of, well, I don't say flood, a couple of letters to the editor and some stuff on social media that somehow we were either nefarious or dishonest in our portrayal of the project, or somehow it wasn't right for us to buy this particular property, or that we somehow did this in secrecy. And again, transparency and honesty is really at the core of our value system to be part of this project. We understand that without complete openness about what we're doing, people will be left to try to, imagine what might be happening, and that'll tend to go to the dark side. I certainly encourage anyone who has any questions about what we're doing or how we came to this to just call us or visit our website and send us an email. We are happy to come and talk to anyone who has concerns or anybody who wants to know more about how this operation came to be the way it is.
Earlier, you talked about the plan for the operation. You know, how do you plan to raise money moving forward to do everything you'd like to do?
Well, that's another great question, and I'm going to just be shameless and say we do have a fundraiser on August 21st on the property, so if people would like to come. It's a murder mystery. It's called an event to die for. Let's just say there's tie-dye involved in the murder mystery, and mm-hmm. It's being put on by some of our wonderful theater people, including former personality on the radio station there, Marianne Kermy, who's the director of this murder mystery and dinner at the property. So we do things like that, but we also are members of what's called the Continuum of Care, and through that organization we are able to apply for federal and state funding that's specifically targeted towards projects like this. We are also working with the Sonora Area Foundation, the Adventist Health Network, the hospital are very supportive of this, and so we've been able to get some funding there, the United Way, and we have an incredible amount of just personal donors, individuals who really want to be part of the solution. So it's going to take an effort like that. Unfortunately, the executive team, myself, Dr. Chapman, and Shelley Muniz, who basically are the three, like you say, executive team. We do a lot of that hands-on work. We also have a lot of experience at writing grants and understanding where that kind of funding is available. So we'll be working on that. And what our hope is that this project, being as unique as it is and being sort of a groundbreaker, might attract funding from some larger organizations who would like to see something like this succeed and then maybe be able to replicate this, especially in other rural communities where these kind of services and this kind of funding is a little harder to come by because we don't have the aggregate numbers that the big cities have, although we have the same level of impact with the number of people that we do have with homelessness and housing issues.
Is volunteers something that you take in as well if they're looking to help out?
We have a tremendous bank of volunteers, and we really have to give a shout out to Love Tuolumne County, who organized volunteers who came up and got our garden activated so it's at the beautiful state that it is now. And we have another project going on with them, and we do have a spot on our website for people to sign up and volunteer. And again, BJ, it's really encouraging to see how many people want to be part of this solution. And so, yes, volunteers are encouraged and welcome, and we are very grateful for them.
At this past Tuesday's Board of Supervisors meeting, there was a discussion about Resiliency Village in relation to a county contract. Was that in relation to the Project Room Key program moving forward?
Yeah, and it's the sort of the next phase of that, and I'm not really, I don't think it's Room Key money anymore. I'm not exactly
okay.
Sure what pot of state funds that's coming from, but yes, our contract was extended so that we can continue to kind of finish that up, and then finish up with the folks that we do have in hotels and case plan for them to, go where they might go, and then take the ones who are going to go to Resiliency Village. Hopefully that will be their transition.
Got it. Just a couple minutes left on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Is there any type of timeline that you have when you look forward to this next step on the project?
what I've come to, it's an old saying I picked up a long time ago. It's blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. And what we have learned is that we need to be flexible. We set timelines, we set goals, but the process of, say, purchasing a piece of property, of securing the permits, of you know, acquiring the right materials, all these things, it's really hard to stay on a strict schedule, but we are hoping to for sure have, we're committed to having people not spend another winter outdoors, at least the ones that we're committed to. And we would like to get this next group into some kind of shelter within the next month on the property, provided everything is in place and ready for them. And then the next phase would depend a lot on fundraising and also on our ability to feel comfortable that we've designed all the systems that we need to move forward on that. And so that's why these first folks that come out, it's like a pilot project for us to really understand and get to know how we can work on that particular piece of property.
During the first segment, we talked a little bit about the opposition group that's formed against Resiliency Village. On the other hand, have you also had people who have really embraced the concept here locally in the community?
Oh, we have, yes. We have tremendous, tremendous support. And again, I think folks in opposition, unfortunately, especially the loudest voices, we haven't had a chance to have any conversation with them. I know that this is airing on the weekend, but I am going to a meeting of folks that are concerned about the project and who have voiced a lot of this opposition tonight. And I expect a pretty lively discussion. I hope that folks will come with an open mind and listen to the presentation, and then I will stay until the cows come home answering questions whether we have to leave the building and do it in the parking lot.
Well, any closing comments? Any other closing comments you'd like to make about the project?
It's going to take all of us working together to tackle this issue, and really, BJ, the level of our response has to match the level of seriousness of the issue, and it's very, very serious and really needs our attention in a much greater way than what just Resiliency Village can do by itself. But we want to start making these steps and encourage the community to have a look and be part of the solution.
And for anybody who wants more information on the project, is the best way to Google Resiliency Village to find the website?
That would be a good way to do it. Yeah, resiliencyvillage.org. And we're pretty easy to find on the web, and you can also find us on Facebook.
We've been talking to Mark Dykin, the Executive Director of Resiliency Village. Mark, keep us posted on how things are coming along with the project.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, BJ.
Again, we thank Mark Dykin for being our guest on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.